To the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So we'll continue. My daughter Louisa, one who must be the head, that person needs to suffer, needs to work, and needs to do himself alone everything that all the others will do all together. So here we see Louisa. She's the head of the new era. I kept on asking Jesus, why another woman? Couldn't he use a man? No, I'm looking. So he needed to start this over again. And he said, basically what he said was this. He said, I am now giving to my daughter this gift, okay? Because it was Adam's daughter, Adam's offspring, that took the gift away. Eve is the one who took the gift away from Adam. Now, Adam could have redeemed Eve, but Adam's sin was that he loved Eve more than he loved God. So Jesus now says to Louisa, now I give you this gift so that you can give it back to the man who has the keys, and that's the Pope. The Pope will open the door of the kingdom and everyone will enter in. This is the beauty that's coming. So he says, this is what I did, because when I was the head of redemption, I can say that I did everything for the love of everyone, to give them life and to place them all in safety. The Immaculate Virgin Mary also, because she was mother and queen of all, how much did she not suffer? How much did she not love and work for all souls? No one can claim having reached us either in suffering or in love. At the most, they may resemble us in part, but reaching us, no one. But by having been the head of all, both the sovereign queen and I, enclothed all the graces and all the goods within themselves. Strength was in our power. Dominion was ours. Heaven and earth obeyed our every wish and trembled before our power and sanctity. The redeemed ones have taken our crumbs and have eaten our fruits, but they have been healed with our remedies. They have been strengthened with our examples. They have learned of our lessons, and they have been risen again at the cost of our life. And if they have been glorified, it has been virtue of our glory. But the power is always ours. The living font of all good springs always from Jesus and Mary. So much so that if the redeemed ones move away from Jesus and Mary, they lose all the goods and return to be ill and poor more than before. This is what it means to be the head. It is true that one suffers greatly, works much, and must prepare for the goods of everyone, but all that one possesses surpasses everything and everyone. There is such a distance between one who is the head of a mission and one who must be a member, that the head can be compared to the sun, S-U-N, and the members to a little light. This is why I have told you, Louisa, many times that your mission is great, because this is not about mere personal sanctity, but it is about embracing everything and everyone and preparing the kingdom of my divine will for all human generations. See, that's our job too. It's not just for my family. I love my family. I love my, you know, neighbors, friends. But this is for everyone, from Adam to the last person. So Jesus said that the souls in the divine will become the feet of the apostles, it becomes the hands of the healers, becomes the voice of the preachers. We begin to help everyone, past, present, and future. This is why this is not human. What God is going to share with us is something that is divine. Volume 21, 4, 16, 27. My daughter Louisa, when I, Jesus, do an act, first I look to see whether there is at least one soul in whom to place the deposit of my act, so that that soul may take the good that I, Jesus, do and keep it safe and well defended. Now, when I instituted the Most Holy Eucharist, I looked for this creature. My queen and mother offered herself to receive this act of mine and the deposit of this great gift, saying to me, Son, just as I offered you my womb and my whole being and your conception to keep you safe and defended, now I offer you my maternal heart in order to receive this great deposit. And I lined up around your most sacramental life all my affections, all my heartbeats, all my love, all my thoughts, all of myself, to keep you defended, surrounded by the cortege, the love, and always protected. I myself take on the commitment to repay you for the great gift you are giving. Trust your mother, and I will take care of the defense of your sacramental life. And since you yourself has constituted me queen of all creation, I, Mary, have the right to line up all around you all the light of the sun as homage and adoration, the stars, the heavens, the seas, all the inhabitants of the air. And I place everything around you, Jesus, to give you all the love and all the glory. So here Jesus is saying that the one who protects him in the Holy Eucharist is his mother. Can you imagine? When we were in the seminary, they asked us, do we have a relic? See, I have a relic here of St. Anna of Francia, Luisa's spiritual director. And they said, do we have a relic of Our Lady? And the answer is yes. When we go to Holy Communion, it's flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone. When we go to Holy Communion, we also receive the Blessed Mother, if we're aware of it. Isn't that something? She's always there. Wherever Jesus is, Our Lady is always there. So when you think about it, the liberals in our class got very angry. The conservatives were going, yes. Of course, there were very few conservatives then, but when we receive the Holy Eucharist, it's flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone, blood of her blood. That's Jesus. I mean, isn't that wonderful? Now, ensuring a place for myself in which to put this great deposit of my sacramental life, trusting in my Mother Mary, who had given me all the proofs of her faithfulness, I instituted the Most Holy Sacrament. Our Lady was the only worthy creature who could keep, defend, and protect my act. See then, when a creature receives me, I, Jesus, descend into them together with the acts of my inseparable mother. And only because of this can I perpetuate the sacramental life. So here, Jesus is showing us that when he sees a soul that gives the fiat, Jesus and Mary come to the soul. So when you ever say Jesus, we're always saying Mary. So every time I said, when Jesus spoke to Luisa, it's always Jesus and Mary. It's always the two of them are one. It's always Jesus and Mary. Because Luisa, Jesus says, you are the first link to me and my mother. So you have the new Adam, the new Eve. Who's the first link? Luisa. Now, when we link ourselves to Luisa, we possess the true life of Jesus and Mary. That's why this is so spectacular. Therefore, whenever I, God, want to do a great work worthy of me, it is necessary that I first choose one soul first in order to place in that soul my gift second to be repaid for it. They do the same also in the natural order. If a farmer wants to sow a seed, he does not throw it in the middle of the street. He goes in search of a little field. He first works it, he forms the furrow, and he sows the seed in it to keep it safe, and then he covers it with the earth, anxiously waiting for the harvest in order to be repaid for this work, for the seed that he entrusted to the earth. Someone else might want to form a beautiful object. First, he prepares the raw materials and the place in which to put it, and then he forms it. So I have done for you, Luisa. I have chosen you, Luisa. I have prepared you, Luisa. I entrust to you, Luisa, the great gift of the manifestations of my most holy divine will. And just as I entrusted the destiny of my sacramental life to my beloved mother, in the same way, I, God, wanted to trust you, Luisa, entrusting to you, Luisa, the destiny of the kingdom of my divine will. So where do we find the kingdom of the divine will but in Luisa Picaretta? That's why these relic cards are so important. Go to Luisa, pray to Luisa, plead with Luisa, and watch what happens. Honest to goodness, God is going to show you who this newborn is. I mean, I keep on saying, I've known Luisa now since 1976. I keep on saying, who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus keep? We went through the titles in the 36 volumes. We have 421 pages of titles. I think it's 400. Of single space. Jesus keeps on saying, you are this, you are this, you are this. Now, why? Because Jesus has infinite number of titles. Mary has infinite number of titles, but now they have a newborn. So whatever Jesus and Mary is, Louisa possesses. Again, I cannot wait until the church embraces Louisa. When the church embraces Louisa, the world is on fire. I mean, there's going to be no stopping God. Right now he's waiting, and he's asking us to enter into this gift so that other souls might embrace it. After this, I was thinking about the sorrow of my mother. And when the sorrowful and pierced of her immaculate heart, she departed from Jesus, leaving him dead in the sepulchre. And I thought to myself, how can it be possible that Mary had so much strength to be able to leave Jesus? It is true that he was dead, but it was always the body of Jesus. How could she and her maternal love not consume her rather than letting her take one step alone away from that extinguished body? Yet she left him. What heroism, what strength. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, do you want to know how my mother had the strength to leave me? All the secret of her strength was in my divine will reigning in the Blessed Mother. Our Lady lived of a divine will that was divine, not human. Therefore, Our Lady contained the immeasurable strength. Even more, you must know that when my pierced mother left me in the sepulchre, my divine will kept her immersed within two immense seas, one of sorrow and another more extensive of joys and beatitudes. While that of the sorrow she gave all the martyrdoms, that of the joy gave her all the contentments. So, you know, that's one of the things that we're also going to find out, that when we go through sorrows, there's also joy. When Mary was at the foot of the cross in her sorrow, she was also filled with joy. See, that's what the divine will does. What's coming upon the earth with the chastisements are going to be so horrendous that the souls in the divine will have the sorrow, but will also be filled with divine joy, filled with divine life. We have to understand that God wants us to get through this, and we're not going to be able to get through this without this joy and the contentments. Our Lady's beautiful soul followed me into limbo and was present at the feast of all the patriarchs, the prophets, her father, her mother. Our dear Saint Joseph made for me, with my presence, limbo became paradise. I could not do without letting Mary, who had her joy that was so great, that she had the strength to depart from my body, withdrawing and waiting for the fulfillment of my resurrection. As the fulfillment of redemption, joy sustained her sorrow in her sorrow, and sorrow sustained her in her joy. So again, you're going to go through difficulties. But one of the things that you will be surprised at is this joy. It will be very difficult what's coming. Yet Jesus is going to fill you with this joy that no one can take from you. Again, joy is the true sign of the Holy Spirit, and you wait to see what God's got planned. He is so in love with us that, like with Noah, in the time of Noah, Noah got through without getting wet. We are going to get through without getting burnt. It's going to surprise us. It's going to surprise the world. Volume 30, 12, 8, 31. Continuing my abandonment in the divine fiat, my sweet chains clasped me so tightly, but not so as to take the freedom away from me. No, no, but to render me more free in the divine fields, to keep me defended from everyone and from everything. So I feel safer, enchained by the divine will. And while I was making my acts in the divine will, I felt the need of my celestial mama, for her to help me and to sustain my little acts so they may encounter the divine satisfaction and the divine smile. And the celestial consoler, who was unable to deny me anything when it is about pleasing Jesus, visited my poor soul and told me, My daughter, Luisa, our celestial mama holds primacy over all the good acts of souls. Mary, as queen, has the mandate and the right to make the withdrawal of all her acts into her acts. Her love of queen, her love of mother is so great that as the souls deposit herself to form her acts of love, from the heights of her throne, Our Lady makes rays of her love descend. Our Lady invests and surrounds the human acts of creatures with divine love to place in them her own love as prime love. See, so what happens is, it's not to do anything alone again. It's to do everything with Jesus and Mary. It's to do everything with, in, through, and for Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And as it is formed, Our Lady takes it up with her same ray of love into the font of her love, and she says to her God, Adorable Majesty, in my love that always springs for you, there is the love of my children fused with my own love that I, with right of queen, have withdrawn into this my sea of love so that you may find in my own love the love of all souls. See how Our Lady brings us right into this divine act. See, it's we're coming to the end of the way we have lived for the last 6,000 years. For the last 2,000 years, we have been redeemed. But we're still trapped in time and space. We're still trapped in our human misery. Jesus now says, I'm going to free us, free you from this human misery. We're going to live a life that Adam lived before the fall. This is a life that the saints did not have. The saints did not possess. The saints did the will of God. So, for example, when Saint Teresa was told by the head superior nun to wash the dishes, she's washing the dishes, she's doing the will of God, and the father looks down and he says, oh, there's Saint Teresa doing the dishes. How beautiful it is. Saint Teresa doing the dishes. Now, with Luisa, it's different. Luisa says, come, divine will, come wash in my washing. So when Luisa's washing the dishes, the father looks down and says, there's my son washing the dishes. It's a divine act. It is Jesus washing in her washing. That's why when we say, come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. It is Jesus that is doing that. He takes us at our word. It's not just to do good things anymore. It's not just to do holy things anymore. It's to let Jesus reign in us. This is what's so spectacular. And as we begin to live this life, as we begin to let Jesus take complete control of us, be Lord of our life, watch what he's going to do. He is going to lead you, he'll guide you, he'll direct you in ways that will astonish you. For example, what happens to me often is when I'm saying Mass, I'll be saying Mass and I'll look at my watch and I'll say the phone's going to ring and the phone rings. It's not that I'm psychic. It's just that the Lord is working in such a powerful way that when you look for something, something's lost. There's an old expression, calling on Luisa. I can't think of it right now. But instantly it'll be there. For example, a friend of mine had a pair of earrings and they lost them in this house. Then they moved to a new house. And as they were there at the new house, they said, oh, I wish I had those earrings. Luisa, help me find those. And they opened up the curtain and there their earrings were on the shelf. I mean, how does that happen? You know, things like this. And what's going to happen is it's going to be constant. Things are going to happen that will so astonish you that all you do is you laugh. You're just, no matter if you, like, that's why it's always fiat. You're driving down the road, you have to be someplace, and a car stops you. Okay, Lord, you're in charge, fiat. What do you have planned next? And you watch the Lord work. If you weren't stopped at that time, you wouldn't have done this, you wouldn't have done that the Lord wanted you to do. See, the Lord begins to reign in you in such a way that he's in charge. You know, he is in charge. So this is what they say. This is what Jesus is saying. So if the soul adores If the soul prays, if the soul repairs, if the soul suffers, from the height of Our Lady's throne descends the rays of divine adoration, the rays of Our Lady's prayers, the rays of Our Lady's reparations, and Our Lady unleashes the vivifying ray within the sea of her sorrow, and she invests and surrounds the adoration, the prayer, the reparation, and the sufferings of souls. So what happens is you're beginning to cooperate with Jesus and Mary in such a way that it's going to astonish you. I mean, all I can say is you'll see it happen more and more. When they have done and formed the act, that same ray of light takes them up to Our Lady's throne, and they fuse within the font of the sea of Our Lady's adoration, the sea of Our Lady's prayer, the sea of Our Lady's reparation, and the sorrows of the celestial Mava. And Mary repeats, "Majesty most holy, my adoration extends in all the adoration of my children. My prayer prays in their prayer. My repairs with their reparation. And as mother, my sorrow invests and surrounds their pains. I will not feel myself queen if I do not run and place my prime act over all my children's acts. Nor will I enjoy the sweetness of a mother if I do not run to surround, to help, to compensate for, to embellish, to fortify all the acts of my children, so that I may be able to say, the acts of my children are one with mine. I, Mary, hold them in my power before the Lord God in order to defend them, to help them, and as the sure pledge that they will reach me in heaven." See, we're never alone again. If we have, it's not pleading with Our Lady. It's not doing our devotional things. It's working one with Jesus and Mary. How? It's through Luisa. See, this is why as you get to know Luisa, you fall more in love with the Blessed Mother. You fall more in love with Our Lady, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our King, our God. He's our all. And you begin to want to do everything with, in, through, and for Jesus. You're never alone. You're never alone. And when you're, whatever you're doing, whether you're swimming or riding a bicycle or ice skating, well, not around here, but whatever you're doing, Jesus and Mary are one with you because of Luisa. Therefore, my daughter, you are never alone in your acts. See, this is, when people say to me, "Oh, I'm so lonely, my spouse died, I'm so lonely," I'm saying, you're not reading. You can't be alone anymore. You're not alone anymore. It's. People say to me, "Father, what do you do when you're all alone?" What do? I have a riot. I'm with Jesus and Mary. It's constant joy. It's constant happiness. Therefore, my daughter, you are never alone in your acts. You have the celestial queen together with you, who not only surrounds you, but nourishes your acts with her divine light of her virtues to give your act divine life. In fact, you must know, when the Sovereign Queen, even from her Immaculate Conception, was the first and only creature who formed the link of connection between God and the soul, broken by Adam. Our Lady accepted the divine mandate to bind God and men together. And Our Lady bound them together with her prime act of fidelity, of sacrifice, of heroism, and making her human will die in each of her acts, not only once, but always, to make that of God live again. So, from this sprang forth the font of divine love that cemented God and man in all their acts. So Our Lady's acts, which are all maternal love, all her dominion of queen, are cement that runs, that cements all the acts of the little children of the divine will to render them inseparable from Mary, unless someone who is ungrateful refuses to receive the cement of love from Mary. See, there will be some who will refuse this. Therefore, you must be convinced that around your patience, there is the patience of the Queen Mother that surrounds, sustains, and nourishes yours. Around your pains, it's Our Lady's sorrows that surround you, sustaining and nourishing like the balsamic oil the hardness of your pains. In sum, in everything that Our Lady is the Queen, Our Lady is the All-Doer, who was unable to remain idle upon her throne of glory, but descends. No, she runs as mother into the acts and the needs of her children. Therefore, thank the Blessed Mother for her maternal cares. Thank God, who has given to everyone a mother that is so holy, so lovable, a mother who loves so much as to reach the point of acting as the withdrawer of all their acts in order to cover them with her own acts, to compensate for what is lacking in her children. She covers them with her beauty of her goodness. See, we're not going to do anything on our own anymore. We can't do anything on our own anymore. See, this great gift of the divine will is to begin to live the life of Jesus and Mary. That's why I wish there was a painting of Louisa here, because it's always Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. It's always the three of them. We have to understand that what God has given to us is so beautiful, it's so holy, it's so perfect, that as we begin to live this life, we're never alone. We're never alone, ever again. Volume 33, 13, 32. So I was thinking to myself, Jesus has shackled me and bound me with chains, that this is Louisa, that there is no danger that they might break. So here, he's tied Louisa to himself with chains that will never break. I am indeed the poor prisoner. Oh, how I would like my celestial mother in my company, so that under her guidance I may live the way one should live in the divine will. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus repeated his short-lived visit, and all tenderness he told me, my dear prisoner. And that's what he says to us. How happy I am that you are shackled, you are bound to me, because my shackles and my chains say that my love alone to keep you at my disposal has used shackles and chains to make you a prisoner only for me. But do you know, love wants tit for tat. If I made you a prisoner, first I made myself prisoner for you in your own heart, not wanting you to be ever alone. I made you prisoner so as to be able to say, we are two prisoners, such that one cannot be without the other. See, it's always Jesus and Mary with the soul. So that's what Jesus has done to us. If you look at your life, everything in your life, God has brought you to this point where you and Jesus become one, prisoners, one for the other. And that's why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus has imprisoned himself in the Blessed Sacrament, and we imprison ourselves to be with him. And again, this love that is there is going to astonish you. The saints say that we are in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and what happens at that point is our heart is burning with love for Jesus. Now, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, what do they say? Let me be burned in the burning holocaust of your love. Let me be annihilated in the flames of your heart. Let me be consumed in the burning furnace of your charity. We are called to enter into this love that's so beautiful, it's on fire. And therefore, the saints have said to us that when we're in front of the Blessed Sacraments, our hearts should burn with love. It's not just to read books. It's not just to pray prayers, but to look at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and fall deeply in love with him. Again, if you have never done this, and I recommend it, if you have never been alone and said to God as loud as you can that you love him, you haven't lived yet. You have to be so in love with God that you can go into the middle of a forest and yell as loud as you can how much you love him. And if you, like I said, if you haven't done that yet, you haven't lived. What happens at that point is going to astonish you. And again, it's better not to expect anything. It's just to give to God all your love with all your heart, mind, and soul. Because nobody does this. Nobody tells Jesus how much they love him. that nobody shouts it. That's what Scripture says. Shout at the top of your lungs the love for God. I mean, really, watch what God is going to do. He has made himself a prisoner for you in your heart, like with Louisa. And he wants to hear, at least from someone, that they love him. Did anybody in your family ever yell to God how much they love him? Anybody in your neighborhood? Anybody in your co-workers? Anybody of your parishioners ever yelled to God with all their heart, mind, and soul how much they love him? No. Because nobody does. Our job is to let God know how much we love him. So he says this. He says, I made you a prisoner to be able to say, we are two prisoners such that one cannot be without the other. In this way, we will be able to prepare the kingdom of my divine will. The works done in one's own are not enjoyable, but the company of God renders them pleasant. It pushes one to work. It sweetens the sacrifice. And, he says, forms the most beautiful works in seeing you call our celestial mother as your guide, your prisoner Jesus exalted with the works that Our Lady's sweet company has extended in God's work. You must know that Our Lady was the true and celestial prisoner of my divine will. Therefore, Our Lady knows all the secrets, all the ways. Our Lady possesses all the keys of the kingdom. Even more, for each act that the queen prisoner did, she prepared in her act the place to receive the acts of all her children done in the divine will. Oh, how the celestial sovereign stands in waiting and in attention to see whether her children operate in God's fiat. So as to take these acts with her maternal hands and encloses them in her acts as pledges and antidotes that the kingdom of my divine will is wanted upon earth. Do you see why God is giving this to us? Everybody wants what they want. Even holy things, they want what they want. Our job is to say to God, I want what you want. Our job is to say to God, let your will reign in me, not my human will anymore. See, most religious people want to do holy things, good things, and saintly things. In the divine will, we want to do what God wants. He's got great plans. I remember once the Lord said to me, said to a friend of mine, I'm going to give you $4 million. And the guy went out and spent it on all his shrubbery, all his, you know, he painted his house, he moved his house, he bought a nice car. And I said to the Lord, if you had given me that money, I said to the Lord, I would have spent it all on divine will. And the Lord went, I know. He has better plans than $4 million. You know, he owns the world. And he is going to set the world on fire. And he is asking souls to embrace this gift. It's not with money, but with your heart. To embrace this gift, to begin to live this gift as his life reigning in you, as Mary's life reigning in you, so that you never do anything alone again. That it's always done in Jesus and Mary, with the love of Jesus and Mary, in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. How? Through the newborn, Louisa. So as we begin to learn this, as we begin to live this, it's a whole new beginning that's happening. So this kingdom was already formed by me, Jesus, and the celestial mother Mary. It already exists. It only has to be given now to the children. See, everything's ready. Everything's ready. In order for it to be given, it is necessary now to know it. So God can't give us this gift if we don't know about it. This is why we have the Book of Heaven. As you read the Book of Heaven, and I would start, if you haven't read it yet, with volume 11, and you must have a priest. Don't read this without a priest. And as a matter of fact, the Archbishop says the book should not be given out to anybody that does not have a priest to guide them. Because it can be very dangerous. What can be dangerous? The people can say, well, now I'm doing divine acts and I don't need anything because I live the life of God. That's craziness. It's to obey the church, to be faithful to the church, and watch Jesus reign in the soul who's obedient to the church. That's why a priest is needed. So if you don't have a priest, what you do is you get the Hours of the Passion or the Virgin Mary, and you say to your priest, especially during Lent, Father, I'm going to be doing the Hours of the Passion. Would you do this with me? And if the priest says yes, and he starts reading this, he's going to be on fire. His whole priesthood will change. If he says no, then you try to find another priest. You're not going to believe how powerful this is. This is everything. It's the new era that God wants us to begin to live. In order for it to be given, it is necessary to know it. Since Our Lady is the holiest, Our Lady is the greatest, who knew no other kingdom but the kingdom of my divine will alone, Our Lady occupies the first place in the divine will, and by right, the celestial queen will be the announcer of this kingdom. Mary will be the messenger of this kingdom. Mary will be the leader of a kingdom so holy. That's why she's appearing all over the world. Every place that Our Lady has appeared is to get the world ready for what? For the divine will. Now, I know some people that say, well, I love Our Lady of Fatima. Well, no, I love Our Lady of Lourdes. No, I love Our Lady. They have all of everything points to the divine will. When we really look at Our Lady, what is she trying to wake us up to? It's waking us up to the kingdom. So when we go to the Blessed Mother, that's why in May, read the Virgin Mary and the King of the Divine Will. And again, ask your priest, Father, this May I'm going to be reading this every day. Would you read this with me? Would you help me with this? And if he says yes, God's going to use him. Okay? So he says, therefore, pray to Our Lady, invoke Our Lady. Since Our Lady will act as your guide, Our Lady will act as your teacher, and with all divine love, all maternal, will receive all your acts and will clothe them with her own acts, and Our Lady will say to you, the acts of my child are the acts of her mother. Therefore, they can stay with mine. In order to double the right for the soul to receive the kingdom of my divine will, since this is God's kingdom, God must give, and the creature must receive. And it takes the acts of both sides in order to obtain the intent. So God gives this gift, and the person takes the gift. I know some people are very far from the divine will, and they're afraid of it. And they go, I want nothing to do with this. And it's sad, because Jesus says, this is what he says, your human will is a rusty penny. He says, my divine will is billions of dollars. He says, what I want is you give me your rusty penny and I will fill you with billions. And people say, well, if I give you my rusty penny, I won't have it anymore. That's where we are. But when we say, Lord, it's yours, God says, here, I fill you with divinity. I fill you with life. I fill you with light. And the more that we say yes, the more we expand our capacity. Every time we breathe these knowledges, we read these knowledges, the more God fills us with his light, his life, his love. So Jesus says, so Our Lady who holds more the ascendancy, Our Lady holds more the power, Our Lady holds more the empire over the divine heart of heaven, her acts will be at the head, and the retinue of all the other acts of her children. They will be changed into divine by virtue of my divine will, Jesus says, to give the children the right to receive this kingdom. See, God is going to change everything. So even our breath, it's nothing. But when we say, come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing, and we breathe in, that is Jesus breathing in our breathing. And we breathe out, Lord, I give you back your divine love. We're giving back to God what is God's. Jesus says, and God, in seeing these acts, God will feel moved to give the kingdom for the sake of that love that he had in creation, as God created everything so that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So therefore, each creature will possess the kingdom of God's will that would have, and again, its total dominion in that soul. Therefore, always forward, always operating, always living in the supreme fiat. And that's what God wants. Our God is so in love with us. Our God wants to give us a new beginning. It's not just to be good. It's not just to be holy. It's not just to be to have sanctity. It's to, as Jesus says, I want you to operate and live in the supreme fiat of God. This is, I can guarantee you, if St. Francis were alive today, he'd be knocking over these tables to, you know, to read. He would be saying, this is what I long for. This is what I look for. This is my life. St. Teresa said she wanted to live in the final days because she knew God was going to do something greater. St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. See, we're living in very powerful times. The devil knows his kingdom's coming to an end, and the devil wants to kill as many people as he possibly can. We are called by God to let the divine will reign in us on earth as it is in heaven, so that the kingdom can be established and the devil is gone. Here no longer. Never to bother the children of God again. You see, this is the time of sanctification. And like I mentioned before, it's been 100 years, over 100 years of praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we have to understand the time we're living in. This is not ordinary. And I mentioned it, I think, yesterday, but does anybody notice that time is speeding up? St. Anthony of Padua said, in the final days, God will speed time up. Now, it was just yesterday was May, you know, and in a minute, it's going to be September. You know, time is moving like this. It's why is it moving so quickly? God is speeding it up. Why? Because he's got plans. He wants the kingdom to be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. So he's given us this great opportunity to know Louisa. And as we read the book of heaven, as we study this, it's a whole new beginning for all of mankind. So we'll end there, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.